And on the line now, I have Eamon Murphy, economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Good afternoon, Eamon. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm just reading the stats again, and it sort of occurs to me and a lot of people as well that the country's getting richer, but the problems are getting bigger.
Yeah, just before Christmas, there the Central Statistics Office published their latest indicators on, you know, things like average incomes and poverty rates. And unsurprisingly, average incomes are on the rise. It sort of reflects Ireland's positive economic trends over the last few years, increased employment and growing exports, increased consumer spending at home. But what's disappointing, if not alarming, about this is that despite the fact that the country is certainly getting richer and we're moving in the right direction by some measures, there's still a significant number of people for whom there's no recovery being experienced at all. There's, as the statistics showed, something like 1 in 6 people are experiencing poverty, which corresponds to around 800,000 people in Ireland, and 250,000 of those are children. And it's the kind of thing that we believe is pretty much unacceptable in a developed, rich country like Ireland, and it's poor reflection on the way this recovery is being managed.
Yeah, I just wonder how you feel about, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about, for instance, quotes from politicians and in the media as well, the average wage of people, you know, maybe 40,000 and even 30,000, and then going upwards all the time, and it doesn't reflect the true income of people, you know, in the majority that are working.
That's true. I mean, that average wage figure is quite skewed by a lot of high earners. The level at which half the people in Ireland working are below the are below and half are above is still under €30,000, so that's not very much at all in that regard. And as well as that, the people who are experiencing poverty and deprivation, who are being shown in these statistics that are coming out, many of them are not connected to the labour market at all. There's a significant number of people, of course, who are retired, who are incapable of working due to having a disability, or are still in school, and that brings us back to that very high figure for child poverty in Ireland, that 250,000. But I guess if you were to look at these figures, it would probably be unsurprising for most people if they found that a number of people who were without a job were living in poverty. What's really startling about these stats is the number of people who are working and yet are still experiencing this. Of all the people in Ireland experiencing poverty at the moment, roughly 1 in every 8 are actually in a job. And of all the people experiencing deprivation in Ireland, roughly 1 in 4 are actually in a job. Now, that corresponds to around about 100,000 working people who are going to work every day and yet still can't live a life above the poverty line. Mm-hmm. And around about 250,000 people who are working and are experiencing deprivation. And we keep hearing phrases out there, like from commentators and from the government, about the need to make work pay. But a lot of the policy decisions that are being made to tackle this are not looking where they need to be looked, which is at the bottom of the income distribution. A few of the moves that we suggested ahead of the most recent budget included increasing the tax credit for working families, which would benefit all working people equally, but also making tax credits refundable, which would mean that people who are working but aren't earning enough to avail of all their tax credits would benefit to the tune of a few hundred euros a year. Doesn't sound like much, but when you're earning possibly the minimum wage or earning below these levels of money, it's a significant amount of money to people, and we're disappointed that the government hasn't made these decisions.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the quagmire of, I suppose, people caught in a catch-22 situation as well. I mean, the minimum wage, they're talking about it going up 30 cents or something like that. But it doesn't reflect the rents they have to pay. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, people are caught in that, as I say, the quagmire of maybe 50% of their wages are going in rent. And I'm not exaggerating, I don't think, when I say that.
No, as a general rule, people should be looking to or be hopeful of paying approximately a quarter of their income in rent. And in many places around the country, particularly in Dublin, that figure is now getting to 50% of incomes. And that puts serious strain elsewhere on your budget if that's where half your money is going. I guess the main issue with the minimum wage, while we welcomed, of course, the 30 cent increase that came in January this year, the main problem with it is that even with that increase, we're still about 20% below the living wage, which is the wage that people need to earn in order to live what's considered a minimum socially acceptable standard of living in Ireland. That's about €11.70 an hour. And that's increased in the last year. People won't be surprised to hear, but they might be surprised to hear that the vast majority of that increase in the living wage was caused by the increased cost of accommodation in this country. And it goes to show that the problems that we're experiencing with social housing waiting lists and with the lack of private development in housing as well is having a serious effect on the low paid. It's kind of a case where we're caught in a vicious cycle, I guess, where the government is persisting with the low tax model that we have in Ireland. I don't refer to just income tax. I mean, looking at the tax take as a whole, we have a very low tax take in Ireland, and that's that means that there's a deficit in areas like housing and healthcare, and this puts additional strain on people who are earning low wages. What we need to do is break that cycle. Government needs to show leadership and create a vision for a society in which while everybody contributes, everybody receives as well a certain minimum standard, and that's going to involve gradually increasing the overall tax take from all sources, not just income tax, over the next few years.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would be saying that it's hard to equate vision and foresight to a lot of the politics today. The way it has reflected itself over the past governments, over the past 30 years, if not even before that as well. And one thing you also note as well is, as probably comes into that equation, is the social welfare. I mean, it doesn't sort of help out people in that extent. Do you think they should be given more? What way are you hope to approach that and maybe alleviate some of the things?
Well, we suppose we take a balanced view on it. I mean, Ireland's social protection system does in one way a remarkable job in reducing the incidence of poverty. If there was no social welfare payments at all, about 45% of the population would be living in poverty. Instead, we have a situation where that's reduced down to 16%. Now, that's a significant drop, but then you come at it from the other side of things, and we are a very well-off developed Western country, and one in six people living in poverty is completely unacceptable. A quarter of a million children living in poverty is completely unacceptable. There are ways in which the social welfare system can be and needs to be reformed in order to reduce these figures even further. As I mentioned, the idea of making tax credits refundable for working people would be a huge step in the right direction, and it would be a step in the direction as well, I think, towards a system of basic income, where the payments that people receive from social welfare would not necessarily be dependent upon not being in work. People would be in a position where they have a flexible arrangement, where they could work a certain minimum amount, or a certain amount of hours as they choose, but also know that they're guaranteed a particular income that below which they could not fall. There's other ways as well that government could tackle this poverty issue. About 50% of people living in poverty have a disability. Sorry, I beg your pardon, 50% of people with a disability are currently living below the poverty line. So Social Justice Ireland has been advocating for a number of years for a cost of disability allowance to acknowledge the fact that your cost of living as a result of having a disability automatically rises in almost all cases. So that would reflect the difficulties that people with a disability would face. And we also are advocating for policies that would make it easier for people with a disability to take up work and to break this cycle where they're dependent on the current disability payment and have, in many cases, very little opportunity to escape that.
Does it not, Eamon, in there, the first point that you made there, where if someone is working part-time, maybe 20 hours a week, that it is boosted by a social welfare to that extent? Is that not in there? It used to be.
That is there at the moment, but okay. Most of those kinds of payments, there is certain criteria attached to it, and very often that's quite inflexible, and people find themselves often caught in so-called poverty traps or unemployment traps, where often the situation that they're in at the moment, if they were to move from it with a bit of view to, I guess, bettering their lot in the long term, very often they face a short-term deficit in their living standards, and that can be in many cases difficult or if not impossible to overcome. So it can be quite demotivational. That's why we would advocate that system of basic income.
Okay, and what do you mean by benchmarking social welfare payments? What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, that's actually something that our current Taoiseach proposed while he was Minister for Social Protection last year, the idea that the best way to, I guess, protect the value of social welfare payments and the living standards of people who are dependent on social welfare would be to legislate to benchmark social welfare payments against a certain measure. That would mean that, for example, if average wages were to rise by 2% in a year, that social welfare payments would increase in line with that. That would mean that people who are living or dependent on social welfare payments wouldn't be falling behind the rest of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case throughout the 2000s, we might have found ourselves in a better position from a poverty standpoint before we entered the recession. Of course, it was probably unsurprising that rates increased in the meantime, but they were obviously they were already too high to begin with for a country that was experiencing the kind of growth that Ireland was.
Mm-hmm. And also, when you were talking in the survey about providing adequate payments for children to end poverty, do you think, for instance, children's allowance maybe should be means tested? This has been talked about for a long, long time, instead of just handing it out across the board, that just to people who need it.
Well, I suppose the argument against making children's allowance means tested would be that it would be very difficult administratively to manage, but whether or not that's the case, I think we're of the opinion that if you were to leave a children's allowance as being a universal payment, there are ways that you could claw that back from people who aren't in need of it through the tax system. Personally, I like the idea of a universal payment which acknowledges the fact that raising children is an expense, it's beneficial to society, and I have no problem with the example is often used is that of Michael O'Leary.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he, as a multimillionaire, receive children's allowance? Well, Michael O'Leary pays the taxes in Ireland and he's entitled to some of the benefits of the social welfare system, but of course what we need is a progressive taxation system, which means that people who aren't in need of those kind of payments, that money can be clawed back in other ways, and they pay their fair share towards the system of social protection and the other social investment that's required in this country.
Okay, and to introduce a universal state pension as well, can you explain that to me as well?
Well, at the moment, pensions was quite topical in the last few weeks in regard to this instance where many people, particularly women, were finding that their pensions over the last few years had been, when they came to retirement, had been reduced. Now, what we're proposing would be a universal pension where everybody over the age of 66, as it is at the moment, would receive the amount of the state contributory pension of €238 per week. That would solve the issue that was being discussed most recently, but also several other issues will be solved as well, whereby there's an anomaly, I suppose you'd call it, or a gap in coverage where many people are finding themselves not entitled to a state pension through their PRSI contributions, but mm-hmm. also not entitled through a means test. And it means that they're falling between the gaps. There's around about 50,000 people, the majority of whom are women in Ireland, and many of whom have spent their lives caring for children
mm-hmm.
or their families, who, for whatever reason, are not entitled to a payment. And this has led to a situation where many of these people are actually living below the poverty line because they don't have sufficient money to bring them up to that, to bring them from other sources to bring them up to that level.
And I think where a lot of people, I hear some people talking as well, maybe it wasn't as relevant many years ago, but with the amount of taxes, with property tax and bin taxes as charges, I should say, well, it's a form of tax, but bin charges and all sorts of things that have come in. If you get an older couple, I mean, we should be looking after older people, a lot of people say as well, that if one or either of the people die, where they've, say, maybe had 400 between the two of them, they get half of that then, but they still have the same bills. Do you think there should be something done there to sort of cover it, maybe by 50% or something like that?
Well, we did propose in our in our release and ahead of the last budget, an increase in the living alone allowance, which would certainly alleviate the issue that you described there, and acknowledge the fact that while people who are in couples do have, of course, greater living expenses than people living alone, some things some costs, I guess, remain the same. So it would acknowledge that extra burden on those people, and we think that a gradual increase in that, reflecting that, would definitely tackle the problem that you described.
Mm-hmm. And the basic income system to replace parts of the social welfare system that are not fit for purpose. What do you see is not fit for purpose anymore?
Well, we believe a situation where people have the flexibility to, decide how much of their time they want to spend at work and how much they want to devote to other things like caring for a family or volunteering in the community, pursuing educational advancement, I guess you call it, would be more befitting the modern economy. There's a trial being run at the moment in Holland and another one in Finland, and what they're finding is that the motivational effects of current unemployment and social welfare rules that we have in Ireland are actually they're not the most progressive, we'll say. A lot of people are finding that if they're in a situation whereby they
More detrimental than progressive, I imagine. That's the way it would work out for lots and lots of people. Are you optimistic at all? I mean, these things are brought before the government, and as I said before, a lot of people are sceptical. They don't see any foresight there at all, no changes whatsoever. And it seems to be, no matter who's in power, that nothing seems to change. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, I suppose that's very much an issue that people are finding. We saw it in 2011, Fianna Fáil was removed from power and replaced by Fine Gael, and we had this talk of the Fine Gael Labour Coalition, we had all this talk of new politics, but there's a lot that's happened in the meantime that's disappointed people. I guess if people are looking for a radical alternative, there's options out there, but what we would really like to see is that, regardless of how the next government, if one comes in the next year and a half or so, as is speculated, how that's formed, that the parties involved would take a look at the situation and acknowledge the challenges that Ireland is facing, whether that be in areas of health, of housing, the underfunding of our education system, or the lack of a well-developed childcare system, that they would look at this and acknowledge the problems that Ireland is facing, and the fact as well that we're an ageing population and that we're not going to be able to provide the society that Irish people deserve and expect based on the current model that we're pursuing, which is that of a low-tax economy bringing in roughly 27% of our GDP in taxation compared to a European average of around about 40. So you're talking about roughly 30% or roughly a third below the European norm. If you were to look at the societies of Western Europe, like France, Germany, the Scandinavian countries, these societies that we should be aspiring to be like, they spend a significant amount of money more than Ireland does on these services, and we basically need to acknowledge that we can't aspire to matching those levels of service provision without matching their levels of taxation. Now, we're not talking about increasing income tax in any way significantly, but looking at taxation as a holistic thing, and looking at ways in which we can increase the corporation tax take in Ireland, which is quite low, particularly among some of the larger multinationals who are paying effective rates of around about 2 or 3%, some of them, and also areas like, fortunately, the government moved to increase the amount being taken from stamp duty during the budget, but there are other areas as well, including pension-related tax reliefs, way in which the VAT system needs reform, where there's plenty of money out there that Ireland could begin moving in the direction that I've been talking about.
Okay, well, let's hope that in the future the governments will sort of have their progressive politics that they keep talking about, and they'll be listening to Social Justice Ireland, and some of these changes will be made. In the meantime, always a pleasure talking to you, Eamon, and thank you very much for talking to us on Near FM. Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Eamon Murphy, Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland.